Amen. We want to turn this morning to the word of the Lord. And I'm look at your watches right now. I'm happy with all of the testimonies and the sharing that have come up to now. But so just take a look at the time. We're going to get as far as we can get this morning. It was my intention to conclude this morning, but that may not be. In my notes, it says, as we conclude. So that I'm going to take that out of my notes because I'm looking at the time. But I do hope you'll grab your Bibles. We're still in the life of Jacob, and we're still talking about planting and harvesting. If you will, grab your Bibles. We're going to be almost only in Genesis 32 this morning. And, of course, we're going to show these things online, but on the screen. But you'll get more if you're following along as well. And so we want to jump back into Jacob's life today. A hard harvest, a blessed life. We've talked about this hard harvest because whatsoever a man sows, whatsoever a woman sows, whatsoever a young person sows, that is what he or she will reap. That's the harvest. And we always get back more than what we have planted, than what we have planted. And so we want to make sure that what we're planting is a good seed, right? We want to make sure it's a good seed. And so we've looked at a hard harvest, a blessed life. You heard Ying sharing about, if you will, God, I want to for this. And for sure, in the life of Jacob, not a particularly good motivation, but God, as he appears to him in the first dream, in the first vision, in the first revelation of who he is, Jacob hears God say to him, I will do this, I am this, I am this. And if you've noticed, you'll see if you'll look at it, this is in Genesis 28. God says to Jacob, not just I will be with you, God says to Jacob in his crookedness, in his running from home, God says, I am with you. And that just encourages me no end. Even in our brokenness, even in our shortcomings, even in our weaknesses and in our failings, God says to you and to me, I am with you. I'm with you. And God has a plan. As surely as God had a plan for the life of Jacob, as crooked as he was, God said, I'm doing this, until I bring you back, I will not leave you until I have done everything I said that I was going to do for you. And the reason I'm interested in Jacob from 3,500 years ago is not because there's this crooked, interesting man that lived a certain way, but because in Jacob, I see me and I see you. And I think that's why Jacob is in the Bible. So we look at this guy, if you will, but to me, so, so very encouraging. So this morning, I hope we get two. I know we're going to get two. I don't know if we're going to get through. Jacob wrestled. This is the most famous episode in the life of Jacob. And if you'll remember, a few years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I spoke on this. And I want to come at it in a slightly different way this morning, but in light of what we're looking at as we look at Scripture. As we're looking at Jacob's life and planting and harvesting and a hard harvest and a blessed life. So as we look at the life of Jacob, he had a special birth along with his twin Esau. The two are so different, we kind of forget, oh yeah, they were twins, right? They were twins. Esau by, I don't know, a few minutes or less, and Jacob comes out right behind Esau, holding on to his brother's heel. Holding on as he comes out. I can't imagine what that birth was like in the days before epidurals. Women, you know what I'm talking about. And he comes out, and that is where Jacob gets his name from that moment. So that's where his name comes from, usurper. And it's a foreshadowing of how he will live. In his moment of birth, what we see is a foreshadowing of his life ahead in relation to his brother Esau, toward his father, toward his uncle Laban, toward all who come across his path or stand in the way of what he wants to make his life for successful. I'm going to help God out and make sure this happens. So he manipulates his brother Esau into giving up his birthright. We don't have time this morning to go into birthright and blessing. The two are related, but there are differences in both. And so he gets the birthright by selling it to his brother Esau, who in fact didn't care about the birthright, didn't understand the value of birthright. But as Esau later says, he stole it from me. And in a sense he did, although Esau didn't value it. But then there is still the blessing, and that's something else instead. And as we see, Jacob is determined he's going to have both the birthright and the blessing. And we see that in his life. So he deceives his father to gain a blessing, and he steals from his brother to gain a birthright, and then he runs for his life to his uncle's home. By the way, when he goes to Laban, we look at the Bible words, these early names, but actually where he runs, where Laban lives, is modern-day Syria. It's modern-day Syria in the area of the earthquake. So he's going to that area. Remember that he tries to make a deal with God along the way, but God cannot be manipulated. Have you ever tried to manipulate God? Cannot be manipulated. Some of you, I'm so glad, some of you are really spiritual. No, I've never tried to manipulate God. Well, Jacob tried to manipulate God, but God cannot be manipulated. He will do what he will do. Even though Jacob says, if you will, I will, God says, I will. And this is how God interacts with us. So he lives with Laban, and he lives with Laban how long? About 20 years, roughly, okay? So he's about 20 years with Laban, jockeying back and forth between two deceivers, because Laban is a deceiver also. So jockeying back and forth, he falls in love with the younger daughter. He's tricked by Laban into marrying the older daughter first. Wow, talk about... Now, if we weren't Christians, we would say karma, wouldn't we? But it's not karma, is it? No karma for Christians. Only God's laws. And he's tricked into marrying the older daughter first. Wages change 10 times, but Jacob figures out how to get rich by genetic engineering and tinkering. That's the first recorded example of genetic engineering, if you will, with the sheep and with the goats and so on. And then he deceives Laban, and he starts running back home again in the same way that he fled from his father's home, this time on the way back home. So remember last week we talked about this. So you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 32. When he is some distance away, we don't know how close he is to his brother, but he sends messengers to his brother Esau. Think with me for just a minute, and because of time, there are a lot of verses we haven't looked at, but remember when his mother, Rebekah, who was also deceptive, when Rebekah sent Jacob away, she told him, your brother's really angry with you and he wants to kill you, but you go, and then when his anger has cooled, then I will send for you. So keep in mind that his mother has never sent for him. So Jacob doesn't know what he's going to face. Does this mean that Esau's anger and grudge is still hot against him? We don't know. But Jacob knows, I'm going back home. So he sends messengers first, and the messengers don't come with gifts. Have you noticed that? The first messengers, they don't come with gifts. Instead, they go with a message. I am coming home, and I have sheep and cattle and these things with me and servants and so forth and so on. And it sounds to us like, well, he's really boastful, but I don't think that's what it was. I think what Jacob was saying to his brother in the message was, look, I have all of these things. I'm not going to try to take from you. I think that's what he meant. So he goes, the messengers come back, and they return with a message. In the same way that Jacob sent them with a message, they return with a message, and the message is, Esau is coming with 400 men. What kind of message is that? Not a happy one, and not a good one. He doesn't say that they are armed, but why would you come out with 400 men? I don't think it's to say, hi, how are you doing? Welcome home. Let's have potluck. I don't think so. We talked about this last time. So in great fear and distress, we'll look at the verse in just a minute. He's Jacob, so he starts scrambling. Let me do this. And then he says, oh, wait. God has said he will do this. And then he prays. and he tries to manipulate God again. And then he stops praying. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he starts scrambling again. He starts dividing. He says, let me do this. He's trying to save and protect himself and at the same time say, God, you promised you were going to take care of me. And so then what does he do? This time he sends messengers again with gifts, right? With gifts. Look, look, look. Let me share some of my wealth with you. The first time I took from you. This time let me give something to you. We don't know exactly Jacob's heart, but I suspect his heart was still kind of crooked, don't you? He was trying to kind of manipulate the situation and appease his brother. And in fact, that's what he says in the Bible. But I want us to, we know from last week that there is true repentance on Jacob's part, it seems, and there is true forgiveness on Esau's part, right? Esau runs to him, which is what an elder never would do for a younger one, falls on his neck, embraces him, and then both of them burst into tears in this beautiful picture of reconciliation. So that's where we ended last week. Now we're going to back up and go back a little bit. We're going to see a few other things. As Jacob leaves Laban and he goes on his way, I want you to go back to Genesis 32, and we're going to see something here. Jacob, chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. You may not have noticed that verse before. So we have these revelations of God throughout his life. We don't have time to do it this morning, but if you want to study and read on your own, read Jacob's life, and you'll see that God reveals himself, and Jacob changes the name of a place. And he goes somewhere else, and God reveals himself, and Jacob changes the name of the place. And it says something about Jacob's view of God and understanding of God. So God's angels met him. When he saw them, Jacob said, this is God's camp. So he called that place Mahanaim, or you may want to pronounce it in another way. Just say it with confidence, okay? So he calls the place Mahanaim, and I want you to think of all these twists and turns as Jacob goes on his way. This is just before he's met his brother, and he calls the place Mahanaim. Don't zip over these places in the Bible so very quickly, because Mahanaim has a special meaning. Mahanaim means two camps, not just one. And that tells us something about the situation, because Jacob was one camp with all of his people, but as he sees God's angels coming out to meet him, there's some irony there, but God's angels come out to meet him, then he says, this is God's camp. And God has sent his angels not just so that they can flutter in the sky and sing a nice song, but he sends his angels because they are a sign of God's protection and God's power and God's presence as he returns to a situation that might be dangerous. But God's angels are there. And the Bible is so clear, God sends his angels. People do not manipulate angels. People do not call angels. Only God does that. Only God does that. So let him do it. But God sends his angels. And Jacob says, it's Mahanaim. And the word Mahanaim means two camps. And when Jacob says that, he means there's my camp. And my eyes are opened, and I see that there is God's camp as well. So he is not on his own. He's not on his own. And you would think that our dear brother Jacob would say, oh, praise the Lord, I have confidence. He is with me now. But in fact, as we go along, we see that very, very quickly, I am so sorry that our dear brother Jacob, we go a few verses later, verses 7 and 8, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups as well. Same place, right? And so we see this ironic, he has named this place two camps because God's angels are with him. And yet he thinks, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then he divides them again as well. And then we see another ironic moment that just right after that, that in the same way that God's angels come out to meet him, Esau and his men come out to meet him as well. And that comes just a little bit later. But let's back up. Let's stay with this night a little bit that is so so tied with who Jacob is and so mysterious as well. We know that it's a really busy night. He divides them and he says, well, at least half of us can make it. If Esau comes and attack one group, the group that is left may escape. as well. So he's got two camps also, right? So he does that. Then remember, this is where he prays and he does some arm twisting with God, right? Oh, God, you said, you told me to come back here. Oh, thank you, I'm not worthy, but you said this and that. So he's trying to twist God's arm. In the same way we can't manipulate God, we can't twist God's arm, though we try sometimes as well. And then, as you remember, he starts sending generous gifts. And just remind you, here, there's the prayer. Oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac. Stop there for just a minute. Does he say, and my God? Does he say that yet? Yes or no? He doesn't say it yet. Why? He's not safe home yet. He says, oh, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac. Praise God that he is God of preceding generations, but God wants to be your God. I am thankful for godly parents. I'm thankful for godly grandparents. But whatever age you are, and especially younger people this morning, God wants to be your God. God wants to be your God. Jacob's not there yet. And he says, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac. And then he says, you promised me. But he's still twisting and turning. He's still Jacob. And so this is when Jacob sends the gifts ahead of him. He sends the gifts, all the sheep, the goats, the cows, the camels, the donkeys, okay? Now, look with me at this. This is one night in one place. All of this is taking place in a very, very short period. Not even a 24-hour period. It's a 12-hour period, okay? Look with me. Still in Genesis 32. So he has divided his group into two camps. He has prayed. He has sent gifts. And then, look with me. He must be lying. I can think of Jacob lying on his bed thinking, that wasn't good enough. And he gets back up and he does a little bit more, right? Look with me at this. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female slaves, and his 11 sons. Benjamin has not yet been born, but Joseph is born here, okay? And he crossed the ford of Jabbok. What is a ford? Some of us don't use that word. What is a ford? A ford is a shallow area in a river or a stream that's easy to cross, and the footing is easier. So that's whenever you see that. So the ford of Jabbok. Jabbok was one of the biggest tributaries or streams going into the Jordan River. So it's not a little stream. It's big. But he goes to a ford where it's easier because he's got all of these. He's got children, women, and cattle, young and mature, and they've got to go to a place where they can cross. Stay with me here. He took them and brought them across the stream along with everything he had. This is in the night, in the dark hours, no lights. What does it say? And Jacob was left alone. Stop right there with me. Everything that he has, everything that has been built up, everything that he has gained, everything by which he shows his position in the world has now gone across the stream and has gone ahead of him. And Jacob is left alone. Coincidence? Chance? Design? Divine design. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Who is this man? Who is this person? Is it someone from his home? Is it someone from Laban's camp who is still angry that Jacob took so much? Is it Esau sending out a forerunner before he comes to meet him in person? No, it is God himself who comes to him in the darkest night when he is all alone, and God comes down in human form. I don't even understand all of this, do you? To me, this is one of the mysterious passages of the Bible, this interaction between God and man. In a similar way to, although I think there's some differences, with Abraham and Melchizedek, another mysterious interaction. But I want us to see something here this morning as we look at this. Here is this Jacob, crooked. He's always tried to get ahead. He's always tried to get one over on his brother, on his father, on his uncle. I'm gonna get the birthright. I'm gonna get the blessing. God said it, but I'm gonna help him. I'm gonna make sure that I get what I need and what I want. And he comes to this point in his life, in the darkness, and he is what? Alone. Alone. Nothing that he has gained, nothing that he has built up, nothing that he has accumulated, nothing that he has accrued is with him in this moment. And he is who he is by himself in the darkness alone. This should be speaking to your heart right now, because God does the same with you and me. I don't really care about crooked Jacob 3,500 years ago, but I care about us, and I care about you, and I care about me, because there are times in our lives, through circumstances, through hardships, through sickness, through death, through opposition, when we are alone, alone. Everything is stripped away from us. Do you know what I mean? When we feel like it's all gone, when we feel like I have nothing I can depend on, when we feel like I can't call on anyone, I'm here by myself. And it is in those times that God says, now I come to you, and now I wrestle with you. What does God do? God wrestles with him. Oh, come on, he's God, because a little bit later, he just touches his hip, right? He doesn't even hit his hip. He touches his hip, and Jacob is crippled in his hip. Just, he touched him like that. God could do that with you. God could do that with me. God could come in and say, what are you doing? Whack! But he will not do that. Why? Because God will never overpower us. God will never overpower your will. God will never overpower your choices. Listen, this morning, each one of us, there are choices that we have made. There are paths we have chosen. And God in love is saying, no, don't. Don't go that way. Don't do that way. Don't give in to that. Don't keep going that. There's death in that for you. There's not life in that for you. And you and I are determined. I want what I want. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you and I are, we're Jacob, are we not? We're Jacob. We're all Jacob. We're all, I want what I want. I want what I want. But because God loves you and because God loves me, he gets us alone in a variety of ways. And he says, now, I'm coming to deal with you. I'm coming to deal with you. Why? I got to get the crooked out of you. I've got to get the deceit out of you, because I want to pour blessings upon your life. But if you're going to stay crooked, and if you're going to try to get your own blessings for yourself, if you're going to try to grab it for yourself, I can't do anything about that. And my hands are off. But I love you and I want to bless you. God came down to fight with Jacob, not because he was angry with him, but because he loved him. He loved him, and he says, I'm with you. I will not leave you until I have done what I said I would do. And part of that involves wrestling with Jacob through the night. And he begins wrestling with him. Oh, not a nice little, can you imagine? Have you ever seen really a real wrestling match where every fiber of their being is involved in that? And a man came and he wrestled with him until daybreak. Such a mysterious encounter. Because Jacob had wrestled with Esau and he overcame. Jacob had wrestled with his father Isaac in deception and he overcame. Jacob had wrestled with Laban and he overcame. But now he's wrestling with God, a different adversary, a different adversary. The only way to overcome with God, are you listening this morning? The only way to overcome is to lose. The only way to win with God is you and I have to lose. That's the only way. That's the only way. But I want you to see something here. When the man, God, in human form, I don't understand it all. Some people say, well, it was an angel of God. I believe it's God. Hosea talks about that, but I believe it's God. Look with me. When the man saw that he would not win the match, it's God. Can God win the match? Of course he can. But God is trying to win Jacob. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched. There we go. Ding. It's like Kung Fu Panda where, you know, he does the thoop and the guy is whatever, except it's God, right? He touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. I've been thinking about Johnny and what he's going through. I can't even imagine when it was dislocated and how painful it was. But God does that. The man does that to Jacob. And then the man said, look with me. I realize we're going to have to stop partway through here, but let's get through this part. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Pause with me for just a minute and think about that. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And we see this strength of will. I must have the blessing. And up until this point, the blessings that Jacob has received, he has received them through his power in his thinking, through his manipulation. He has gotten the blessing. But he comes to this place and he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob knows something else is going on. Jacob knows this is not a natural encounter. But day is coming. And the man sees, God sees, I cannot do in Jacob what I want to do so that I can bless him. I want to ask you something this morning, brothers and sisters. Can God do in you what he wants to do so that he can bless you? Or are you resisting just like Jacob, wrestling and wrestling? No, not going to let you go. Not going to let you know, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God is saying, can't bless you unless you let me change you. I can't bless you unless you let me change you. Jacob said, give me a blessing. God's not going to give him a blessing because the blessings of God do not come on our terms. They come on his terms. They come on his terms. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Blessing was position. Blessing was provision. Blessing was abundance and wealth. Blessing was favor. And in case you're thinking, you think I'm making too big of a point about this, on your own, go back to Genesis 27 when Jacob stole the blessing from Esau and from his father Isaac. You go back to Genesis 27. For the sake of time, we can't do that, but I printed it out for myself. More than 20 times in Genesis 27, more than 20 times, the word bless and blessing is used as Jacob is trying to gain the blessing. It's important. It's important. It says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, how did Jacob get the blessing in Genesis 27? How did he get it? My son, who are you? I'm Esau. Was it Esau? It was Jacob. Are you sure? Who are you? I think Isaac knew his son. I think Isaac had an idea. Who are you? I'm Esau, here. And he feels the hair, the goat hair. That I'm not sure how goat hair felt like people hair. I haven't figured that one out yet. Have you ever wondered about that? I've always wondered about that one. But anyhow, Isaac thought it was Esau. Who are you? I'm Esau. And the man said, what is your name? What is your name? No blessing from God until Jacob says, I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. This is who I am. I'm crooked to the core. I've always been crooked. I've always stolen. I've always made my own way. I've always used my own smarts to deceive people around me who aren't as smart as I am. But in this moment, the man says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jacob. Here I am. This is who I am." You will never lose by being honest with God. No matter how ugly you think you are, no matter how crooked you think you are, no matter how many problems you have, no matter how messed up you are, you can go to God just the way you are. And when God says, "Who are you?" You say, "Oh God, here I am. I'm proud. I'm arrogant. I'm sensitive. I'm holding a grudge. I'm bound by this. This is who I am." And when we do, God's blessing will come. "I'm Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have won." And Jacob asked him, "Tell me your name." But he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. And at that point, Jacob realized, it's God. It's God. And he renames the place Peniel. For he said, "I have seen God face to face and have been delivered." That actually means I've seen God face to face and I survived. There's so much more here, but it is time to stop. There's some beautiful things here. We're going to come to it next week. I don't want to, I'm looking at the time. I don't want to rush through this part. Beautiful, beautiful things here. But we sang this morning the song. I don't know if that's what Chris had in mind before already, but I think he did. I asked Chris to include the song that we sang, "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fail." All of that. "All my life you have been faithful." Me, I think of that song as the song of Jacob. Because we see that all of our lives, God has been faithful. In our crookedness, in all of these things, God is faithful to us. I want to close in prayer this morning. I want to come back to this next week because there are some things here yet. And I want you to see that God will not bless Jacob, but he will bless Israel. You see that? He says, "What's your name?" "Jacob." "No, I'm changing your name to Israel." And then he blesses. God wants to pour forth blessing. And I'm really, every one of us here this morning, whatever your age, God wants to bless us. He wants to pour forth wonderful, beautiful things on our lives. And even in our crookedness, God still blesses us. Do you see that? Even in our brokenness, God blesses us. But there's so much more that God has for you. And if you and I will come to him as we are, God will do a work in our lives, and he'll bless us. He'll get you alone. Some of you who've been going through a hard time, Chris, would you just go ahead and come up and just play, just be playing. Our time is short, so we may not even be singing, but you can just put the song up. And I just invite you to close your eyes and just to let the Holy Spirit talk with you. I know he has been. He was very specific and very clear to me as I was praying for the message and as I was praying for you yesterday. Just go ahead and start playing, Chris. Come on up. All my life. But I encourage you and I invite you this morning. Some of you, you're in a place where it has been dark and you feel completely alone. And what I want you to know is that God is with you in that place. You need to know this. God is with you in that place in love, and he's wrestling with you because he wants to get you to the place of openness and honesty and blessing. That's where God wants you. And if you will say, "God, here I am, this is who I am, and this is what I am," because God already knows, he will work in your life and work in my life. Let's pray together this morning. Hallelujah. Chris, just go ahead and start playing. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to you this morning. And we come to you. I invite you this morning, you may stay seated, but I invite you, if you if you know that God is speaking to you very, very specifically this morning, I mean, it's nobody else's business, but it's a step of openness and honesty, I invite you to stand as we pray, as we're all praying. I just invite everybody, just start praying. And if you say, I'm okay in this area, then be praying for your brothers and your sisters this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. God, I thank you that you come to us in our darkness. Lord, I thank you that because you love us, you wrestle with us. You wrestle with us. Hallelujah. Oh God, as you wrestle with your people, Father, I pray, I beg, oh Lord, that your people would submit and would yield to you. And if you need to touch us in the hip and make us limp, do that, Lord. Do that, Lord, that we might lose to you and win. Oh God, deal with your people, I pray. Deal with your people, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.